This morning we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. But as an introduction to that, I want us to recall a time in Peter's life, a time when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they had different answers. And then he says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "That's right. That's well done, Peter. The Father has shown you this." And then he described to them how he was going to be delivered up to be crucified. And so Peter went from a very high moment where the teacher told him, good job. And then he says, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen. I'll die before I let you die." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're acting like Satan. You're not concerned about God's plan and God's kingdom." And so he rebuked him, and then he told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." And as our Lord's all-knowing, Peter did deny Jesus three times on the night in which he was crucified. And then after the resurrection, Peter tells the disciples, "I'm going to go fishing." And all the disciples say, "Hey, let's go with him." And they go out and they're trying to catch fish. And then the Lord appears on the shore and he calls the disciples to come to him. And we pick up in John 21, verse 15. Jesus had breakfast waiting for them. It says, verse 15, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" That word "tend" means to act as a shepherd. "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter had denied the Lord three times. Peter told the Lord he loved him three times. Three times Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep." And then he told Peter, "You're going to die a death that's not going to be pleasant." History tells us Peter was crucified upside down. And he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." See, Peter himself was a pastor, charged with tending the Lord's sheep. And the last time we were in 1 Peter, in verses 12 through 19, we saw that God uses suffering to separate His saints from sinners. But God does not leave His saints to suffer alone. They are placed in a church and given elders or pastors to look after them. Peter, himself a shepherd of God's flock, now writes to pastors and encourages them to shepherd their suffering flock on the way to the promised land and do it in a Christ-like way. Let's look at Peter's exhortation to elders to shepherd God's flock. Now, when we come across the word "elder" here, it's an interchangeable word. It's recognizing the office of what we typically call a pastor here at Faith Baptist Church. The words "elder," "pastor," "overseer," or depending on your translation, "overseer" may be translated "bishop." Those three words all speak to the same office. Okay, "elder," it speaks to the maturity and the elevation of the office. "Pastor" speaks to what is done, the feeding and the tending and the caring. And then the overseeing is speaking of taking responsibility for others, as we will see. And so just know when we see elder or shepherd, or if you hear me say pastor, shepherd, elder, all those words referring to the same office in the church of a pastor. So 1 Peter 5, let's read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll get into the message. Peter writes, "So, because God separates His saints from the ungodly and the sinners through suffering, so I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." I want to bring you a message this morning called "Elders Tend God's Sheep." Elders tend God's sheep. Now this sermon is not just for Pastor Tad and I. If it were, I could have just called him up here to the front and we could have dismissed you all and you could have went home for the day and beat the Methodist to the lubies or whatever. But the sermon is not just for us, because among you, some, God may move you to another area, and you're going to have to look for a church, and you need to be able to recognize what a Christ-like elder looks like in your new church. Some of you men here among us this morning, God may move in your heart someday for you to be a pastor or an elder. Could be in this church, possibly in another church. All of us need to watch for men among us that meet these qualifications, because it could be that some of you could help pastor this church. We'll see later, a multiplicity or a plurality of elders is given to the church to help bear the load of the church. And so we need to be watching among us for people who meet the qualifications of a pastor. And it could be that you may need to correct an existing elder if his behavior doesn't match these qualifications. "I do not stand before you a perfect man." And so there may be times where I'm not exhibiting these qualities in a pastor, and you will need to step in as your responsibility as a member of our church to say, "Hey, pastor, I saw this. This doesn't really jive with what the scriptures say." So pay attention, even though you sit there today and you're not an elder. It could be that God's going to have you be one, or you need to recognize one. So let's look first here at the authority of the elders. 1 Peter 5:1. "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Now, when he says the sufferings of Christ, it's a reminder here that Christians will experience trials, just as their Lord did, because a servant is not greater than his master. Now, why did Christ suffer? Well, he did so on our behalf. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, for our justification. You see, we as human beings are born not into God's family, but into Satan's family. We're a seed of the serpent, if you will. And we are all sinners. And in order to stand before God, we need to have our sins paid for, and then we need God's righteousness, two things that we do not have. And so Christ came to be a new father for us. Unlike Adam, who had sinned, Jesus Christ came and he lived the perfect life. And he followed God's will completely and perfectly. And though he did not deserve to die for sins, he died for our sins in our place. So that if we place our faith in him, if we turn from our sins and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sins will be forgiven because his death has paid for them. And his righteousness will be be ours because we have been joined to him. We're a part of his family now, and so we inherit his righteousness. And so we can stand before God in his presence with our sins paid for and the righteousness needed through the righteousness of Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's step one of Christianity. Repent of your sins. Turn from being the king of your own life and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross and in his resurrection as the payment for your sins, and follow him with your life. I encourage you to do that today. Don't put it off. But that's why Jesus suffered. Why do Christians suffer? Well, again, as we looked at last time, God uses suffering to sift his saints from the ungodly and sinners. In other words, who's really following Christ as king? When we suffer for his sake, it's revealed whether we really believe that Jesus Christ is our king. And so we endure suffering here on this earth as we look forward to the promised land. Something that the book of 1 Peter is all about. And for that reason, because we go through these suffering times, God has given elders, sometimes called pastors or overseers, to help lead a particular flock of God's people on their journey to their eternal promised land. I want you to see how Peter elevates the authority of the elders he is writing to. He does not appeal to them here on his apostleship when he exhorts the elders. But instead, he equates them with himself. Peter is a fellow elder, one who, like the other elders, tells others about Christ's suffering and the gospel, for the gospel. And Peter, just like the elders, is a fellow partaker of the resurrection to eternal life that is to come. You see, these elders are given authority to lead. And it's the same authority Peter had as an elder in his congregation. So I want you to see here this morning that pastors are given by God to a congregation in order to lead them. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Now, we summarize this passage here at Faith Baptist Church by saying that your sanctification is a group project led by pastors or led by elders. Okay, so your growth into the image of Christ is a group project. All Christians are involved, led by pastors. We are to lead you in the work of the ministry, how to help others become more like Jesus. We see that in Ephesians 4:11. It says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. What's that work? For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So pastors are given to lead a congregation of people as they grow into the image of Christ. And the people are to submit to the leadership of these elders. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. One day when you stand before the Lord as a member of Faith Baptist Church, the elders of this church will stand with you and have to give an account for your walk. That's a sobering thought. And so I, through church membership, want to know who I'm going to have to answer for, number one. But number two, the scriptures encourage you to walk faithfully and to submit to the leadership of this church as we are helping you to grow into the image of Christ. Now, authority and submission are often viewed as bad things in our society. But benevolent authority is a good thing. God is good how often? All the time, right? And all the time, God is good. Jesus is a good king. Elders should reflect that good authority in your lives. That's why, though, an elder's character is so important to consider for a congregation when they choose their elders. So let's look at the responsibility of elders as well as their manner or their character as they serve. Peter's exhortation, verse 1, and then the beginning of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3. Okay, so we see the responsibility of the elders is to shepherd. Let's look at that first part of verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you. Now, let me just say we've got some plurals going on there, and the English language fails to express that. But the good thing is we're in Texas, and Texas does have a way of expressing it. So he says, so I exhort the elders among y'all. And then verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among y'all, exercising oversight. Now the y'all is referring to the elders, plural. And then in verse 3, he says, over those in your charge. And that word charge means your assigned portion. So, first of all, the responsibility of the elders is to shepherd a particular flock. The elders' responsibility is to shepherd the flock among them, those who are in their charge. That's why church membership is so important. Elders are not responsible for every Christian everywhere. That's Jesus' job. Not even are we responsible for every Christian in this area of Palmhurst, McAllen, Mission, and Edinburgh. Elders are responsible to those who have joined with their church in membership. Those who have covenanted together in membership at Faith Baptist Church, those are the people who Pastor Tad and myself are responsible for here at Faith Baptist Church. So, it's a particular flock. Who am I responsible for? And then, the question you should be asking yourself, because you too are responsible to help other people. Discipleship is a part of every person's life. Who are you responsible to disciple? Well, it's not every Christian everywhere, and it's not every Christian in this big area. It's those whom you've committed to be responsible to. You've submitted to the elders and the membership here at Faith Baptist Church through church membership to be responsible for the growth of others. Again, your sanctification is a group project led by pastors. So it's a particular flock. And then the responsibility of the elders is not only to a particular flock, but it's supposed to be done in plurality. There's supposed to be multiple elders in a church. Notice he says, I exhort the elders, plural, among y'all. And again, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among y'all. Speaking now to the elders, multiple elders to the flock individually among y'all. And so, elders are to shepherd in plurality. We saw this when Pastor Tad went through James chapter 5, verse 14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, plural, of the church, singular, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we see there are multiple elders in one church. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Now, what's implied there? Some elders don't preach and teach. They have the ability to preach and teach, but they're not the ones that are preaching and teaching on a regular basis. But they're still eldering, they're still pastoring the flock in oversight and care. And again, we see the plurality, let the elders who rule well. And then Acts 14:23 says, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. It says, when they had appointed elders, plural, for them in every church, the individual churches have multiple elders put together. So the responsibility of the elders is to shepherd a particular flock in plurality. Now, one of the benefits of that is when you have multiple people, it makes it easier for it protects against a individual person becoming a despot. Remember, I said that authority and submission are bad words sometimes in our society today. Why is that? Well, it's because we've had bad leadership. And so when you have multiple elders, they can confront one another and make sure that one of them doesn't become this guy who just dominates everything and ruling harshly over the people. We'll see some of that later on as we look through these responsibilities. So they are responsible to shepherd a particular flock in plurality through shepherding and overseeing. Through shepherding and overseeing. He says, shepherd the flock of God and overseeing them. The word overseeing means to accept the responsibility to care for someone. And then shepherding the flock of God means leading, feeding, and protecting. You see, elders lead their church members on their journey to the promised land, caring for them as they endure trials and temptations. Churches should be elder-led, congregationally governed through their membership. That's why we vote on members. That's your responsibility, is to help determine who is and who is not a genuine Christian. Congregationally governed, and then deacon served. Elder-led, congregationally governed, and deacon served. Elders feed their church members God's word, not their opinions. One way that we guard against just getting up here and spouting our opinions on different things is to preach expositionally. Pastor Tad and I, on a regular basis, or in the normal course of things, are preaching through books of the Bible. I can remember early in my ministry, a fellow came to me and he said, Pastor, I think you need to preach on music more often. And I said, oh, okay. Well, you know, I know on a Sunday evening I had talked about that as a topic and that type of thing. And in particular, he really didn't like drums. And he said, you need to preach on that more often. I said, look, brother, let me tell you something. I preached through a book of the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I make a promise to you, every time the Bible speaks about music, I'll preach on it. Because sometimes we make mountains out of molehills, don't we? And quite honestly, there's nothing wrong with drums, just in case you were wondering. Okay. But that was that was something that stuck in his craw. And so when we preach through scriptures, we can't dodge things. Like if I skip something, you're going to be like, hey, wait a minute. Why didn't you address this? Right? You can come and say, hey, why? Why not that verse? Why did you skip that? And then it also keeps you from wondering if we come to a passage that speaks about remuneration for the elders who rule well. You don't go, hey, the pastor must have an axe to grind about his salary. Right. Well, no, it's because we just came to that in the scriptures. And so that's why we want to preach God's word to you expositionally. We want to feed you God's word because we see in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, it's Paul's charge to Timothy. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom. So if you can imagine what Paul has just said here, we read that lightly, but what Paul has just said is that he says, hey, Timothy, come with me into the presence of God and Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you a charge in front of them. Well, what's the charge? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Whether the pews are full or the pews are empty. The seasons of ministry when things are great and the seasons of ministry where you're in the middle of a pandemic. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Elders feed their church members God's word, not their opinions. Elders protect their church members from false teachers and from bullying members. We are to protect the people from false teaching, guarding you, showing you what's true, arguing against what is false. But also, sometimes sheep bully other sheep. And 3 John speaks about a particular fella. 3 John verse 1, John calls himself the elder. So he's the elder of this church. Now he's out of town, maybe even in prison at this point. But he's writing to his church and he says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And then in verses 9 and 10, he says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. So here's this guy basically making himself an elder, and then instead of a congregational rule, he's putting people out of the church himself. So there is such a thing as bad pastors and bad pastoring. And the Bible doesn't ignore that. We see that in 3 John. And John the elder says, when I get there, I'll deal with him. Okay? But elders are to protect their church members from false teachers and bullying members. It is the responsibility of the elders to shepherd a particular flock in plurality through feeding and overseeing. And then there's the manner in which they are to do it. We see that in verses 2 and 3 of 1 Peter 5. The manner of the elders as they shepherd. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. And then we have these comparisons. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. First, we see that the manner of the elders as they shepherd should be willingly. Willingly, not under compulsion. God, nor God's people, should have to force a man to serve as an elder. If you want an example, it's not a perfect example because Jonah wasn't an elder, he was a prophet. But if you think about Jonah basically did not do the things God told him to until God forced him to, right? And so he got to walk through Nineveh with whale puke on him and proclaim God's judgment. God doesn't desire that, though. He wants us to serve willingly. He desires for your elders to serve willingly. This is especially important in times of persecution, because that's the context here in 1 Peter. Thomas Schreiner writes in his commentary, he says, those who serve only because they feel they must will lose their joy, and the church will suffer as a consequence. Paul, who went through tremendous suffering, wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:15, he says, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Now that's, as an aside, that's kind of the downside of pastoring. Sometimes the more you love someone, the less you are loved. Sometimes the cross upon which the pastor hangs is his people. But Paul says, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. He wanted to usher them along and shepherd them along to be able to present them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did so willingly, not because he had to. So the manner of the elders as they shepherd should be willingly. And then it says that they should shepherd eagerly, eagerly. Not for shameful gain. You may have heard the old adage, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. The man who is qualified to be an elder is the one who loves and cares for people's walk with the Lord, regardless of whether he's getting paid or not. The man who invests in others for their spiritual good. They do this because they love the Lord and they love the Lord's people. And they'll disciple others whether they get paid to or not. If you come across a man and that makes a statement, well, I'll do that when I get paid, or I don't get paid enough to do that, then that's not really elder material. You need to look for men who willingly and eagerly want to shepherd other people. This passage speaks specifically of greed for dishonest gain, but sometimes men seek to be an elder for prominence or power. They want the title or the authority. And some men are quite gifted, but they have not gained the spiritual maturity needed to use that gift solely for the Lord's glory and not their own. 1 Timothy 3:6 talks about looking for elders to appoint, and he says he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, Paul warns, and he says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. You may have heard, pastors, I hope you've not heard it from me, but some pastors like to just say controversial things and be very opinionated and dogmatic about things, and it ends up causing strife and division, and it causes people to rally to a person instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. They quarrel about words. That's not what an elder should be. It shouldn't be for shameful gain of money, of power, or authority, or popularity. The manner of the elders as they shepherd should be willingly and eagerly. And then by example, not domineering over the flock. An elder should not ask the congregations to do things he himself is unwilling to do. A pastor is not a business executive barking out orders. Peter alludes to the teaching of Jesus when the 12 argued about who was the greatest disciple. Jesus called them to him in Mark 10:42, and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." If you want to be a great disciple, you give up every right in your life, every claim to a right that you have, and you become a slave to other people, to their needs and their discipleship. Pastors are not to be executives. They are to be examples. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, who deserved to come to this earth and to be worshipped, he came and he served others, even dying for others. So authority in Christ's kingdom is for the purpose of serving others. The manner of the elders as they shepherd should be willingly, eagerly, by Christ-like example. And then finally, for the final manner of the elders as their shepherd, we need to look forward to verse 5 of 1 Peter. And we're going to, Lord willing, pick up next week with verse 5 and move forward as far as the congregation's response to pastors or elders. But it says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." But then it says this, "Clothe yourselves, all of you." Okay, so that's the elders and the congregants. "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The man who would serve as an elder needs humility. He doesn't have to have all the answers. He needs to be teachable and approachable. The manner of the elders as they shepherd should be willingly, eagerly, by Christ-like example and with humility. Again, I say, if myself or Pastor Tad are not exhibiting these qualities in your life, we freely admit we're not perfect. Do not be afraid to come and to talk to us. And Lord willing, we will humbly receive correction that you give us. You see, since God uses suffering to sift His saints from the sinners, elders are exhorted to feed and oversee their suffering flock to the eternal promised land in a Christ-like way. And then finally, we see the reward for elders. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Again, Tom Schreiner says this about Jesus being the chief shepherd. Sometimes you'll hear a pastor say something like, "I'm just an under-shepherd." There's the chief shepherd and then there's the under-shepherd. Jesus here is called the chief shepherd, a rare term that occurs nowhere else in the New Testament or in the Septuagint. The designation of Jesus as the chief shepherd reminds the leaders that they are fundamentally servants, not autocrats. Their positions of leadership are a responsibility, not a privilege by which they advance their own status. As shepherds, they serve under the authority of the chief shepherd, doing his will rather than theirs. That's Tom Schreiner. We're not to be advancing our own agendas as pastors. We are to advance the agenda of the chief shepherd, and that's your Christ-likeness for his glory. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the Roman world, athletes would compete. We have the Olympics coming up, and the rewards for winning the Olympics in our day is a little more longer lasting in that it's gold, silver, and bronze medals that are giving out. But in the Greco-Roman day, they would receive a crown made out of leaves. If you've ever taken leaves off a stalk, they're green for a little while, but then they what? Wither. And they fade in their color. The color fades away. And they would compete for these crowns of leaves that would fade. But Peter encourages elders that their reward is unfading. So don't look for a pastor who's more interested in building ministries or a brand or a reputation for himself instead of people. Ministries are temporary. Accolades are temporary. People are eternal. And so, one way that you can honor your elders is not to make a big deal about our name. Okay? I don't like to see, I don't want to see here at Faith Baptist Church, I don't want to see my name on a sign. I don't want to see my name on the vans as they're driving around, because this ministry is not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. One missionary said this. He said, "Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten." Lord willing, we'll have a wonderful ministry here. And Lord willing, I'll be your pastor for many years to come. And you will love me, and I will love you, and that type of thing. But so help me, do not name anything after me when I'm gone. Don't dedicate anything to me. There are pastors who have statues of themselves. I kid you not. That stuff's going to burn. I don't want my reward down here. Look, I appreciate it, but don't name a building after me, okay? Because the building's going to burn. I want this eternal reward. Call me selfish, but I like the long-lasting things, okay? I'm not worthy of honor, like Jesus Christ is worthy of honor. You honor Him. Ministries are temporary. Pastors die and move on. People are eternal. So, since God uses suffering to sift His saints from the sinners, elders are exhorted to feed and oversee their suffering flock to their eternal promised land in a Christ-like way. So now, some applications for us. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to become a member of God's family. Avoid eternal judgment by repenting of your sins, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and following Him with your life. He's your King. Follow Him. For those who are saved, you need to submit to a particular church and their elders through membership. So you need to join a church. Now, if you don't feel like you can submit to myself and Pastor Tad, then that's okay. Find another church that you can. Okay? But find somewhere where you can commit your sanctification to a group of people and that you will invest in those people to help them grow in the image of Christ. You need a church. During difficulties and trials, you need to seek the counsel of your elders. We're here to help you grow in the image of Christ as we journey to our eternal promised land. We want to help you. Don't think your problems are too small or that we're too busy. If we're too busy for people, we're too busy on wrong things. Okay? We're to spend our time in the Word and prayer. And prayer for our people. And if you need help with life, we're here for you. We're here for you. God may be working in your heart to become an elder. You may say, Pastor, you may feel like I did at some point. And it's just like, boy, the things I'm doing in the world, they're fine and they're good. And God wants good Christian workers. But boy, I feel like I'm wasting my time doing this. I need to be investing in following the Lord and helping people grow in the image of Christ. If you feel that way, would you let us know? Because it's good to desire that thing. If any man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. But then there's qualifications that come with that. Time-tested testimony and things like that. But we can work with you and help you in that. Or it may be that you're ready. We don't know. But God may be working in your heart. Let us know about that. All of us here need to watch for men among us that meet these qualifications. So if you think there's someone in our congregation that would make a good elder, then let Pastor Tad and myself know so that we can begin to observe them, maybe even meet with them. Because we're, unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not omniscient. We don't always see when you're ministering in somebody else's life or that type of thing. And maybe somebody in this church has ministered to you in such a way that was a blessing. And you see them ministering in others' lives. And we don't necessarily see that. So let us know so that we can be praying. Not all elders are paid. There are lay elders who can serve along with us and help us lead this church. So be on watch for men among us that can meet these qualifications. And then, again, you may need to correct an existing elder if his behavior doesn't match these qualifications. We're not perfect. I have heard pastors, thankfully not my pastors in my life and that type of thing, but you may hear somebody say from a pulpit, "Touch not the Lord's anointed." And that was written about the King of God's people in the Old Testament. And it's not talking about pastors, okay? As far as anointing goes, I've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. But guess what? If you're a Christian, so have you, okay? So I'm not untouchable, and I'm not perfect. So you may need to come to us. And Lord willing, we'll humbly receive that correction. But we need to hear about it regardless. I mean, we're just like you. Sometimes when we hear bad things about us, we want to be defensive. Or maybe you're not that way. But then eventually we come around. Okay? We love you and we know that if you love us, you'll be willing to talk with us. Elders are to care for suffering saints in a Christ-like way as examples to the church. Examples that you are to follow yourself. You need to be caring for other people. Again, some of you men here among us, you may be elders for the future. I'm not going to live forever. In this body, neither is Pastor Tad, and we're going to need replaced at some point with the newer models. Who are those people going to be? Well, could be you. But you need to follow the example of Christ and follow us as we follow Christ, as Paul said, and care for one another as we grow and mature to the full stature of Jesus Christ.